Welcome back, Talking Animals, and welcome once again to the Lair. And we have another guest on the show this week. It's going to be a little bit different, you know, from as we switch up. We talked about relationships for a few weeks. We talked about side chicks, 50-50 relationships, all kinds of stuff like that, you know. But we got something a little bit different for y'all, changing speeds on you. You know, we like to keep you on your toes. This week, we got John joining us this week. John, you want to introduce yourself, man?
What's up? I'm John. I've been vegan for over 4 years now. I actually have an online t-shirt company that sells ethical t-shirts with vegan messages on them. It's all certified by Global Organic Textile Standards, veganbeacon.org, for the maybe 1.5 vegans that are listening to this.
that sounds about accurate. And speaking of vegans, man, that's actually what we want to talk about today, man. Thank you for joining us, man, hopping on the show this week.
Thank you for having me.
But you know, we wanted to give you an opportunity to talk to maybe potentially a larger audience about being vegan, and also we got some questions too, because me personally, and I think we've talked about this before, and especially in the Facebook group, I think it's bullshit. But, you know, tell us a little bit about, like, why you became a vegan and why you think it's important.
Well, pretty much all my life, like all of you, anytime anybody brought up veganism to me, I'm like, that shit's crazy. You're out of your mind. You know, we're supposed to eat animals. We've got to eat animals to be strong. You know, I like to lift weights. And if I stop eating animals, I'm going to turn into, you know, just a frail person who gets sick all the time and whatnot. And I even went to the point where when we met 7 years ago or so, I guess it was more like probably, you're right, 8 or 9 years ago or so, when we met and I was working, you know, at the bar. I was already what they call a pescatarian. So the only meat I ate was fish, and I would eat eggs and cheese. Am I still on? You hear me?
Okay,
cool. So the reason I did that was because I'd come to a point in my life, you know, I'd always considered myself somebody that cared about animals. And I realized, well, it's difficult to argue that I care about animals and what happens to them, and then pay for somebody to stab one 3 times a day. So it just didn't line up with my morals. But the reason I actually became vegan is because I met someone, or not, I didn't meet somebody. I met lots of people and watched lots of videos. People that broke world strongman records, powerlifting records and stuff like that, who were vegan. So it kind of completely dismantled my beliefs that you had to eat meat in order to be strong. It's not true. It's a fallacy. So that's what got me to switch from being pescatarian to being fully vegan. And I believe that most people lines up with their morals as well. It's just that we are all trained, so to speak, from a young age to not even think about it, to not even think about, you know, the kind of harm that our actions cause when we eat meat, not just to animals, but actually to our own bodies and to the planet. So that's why I decided to go vegan, because I got all the information.
So that, I mean, that make a lot of sense, you know, lining up with your morals, but that it don't line up with my morals, John. I don't give a damn about animals dying, to be honest, bro. I feel like that's like the natural order of things. Like, hey, you know, because, and whether you want to look at it from like a biblical standpoint or whatever, even if we take that out of it, I feel like these animals are here. Well, a lot of them are, not all of them, but they're here so that I can kill them and eat. I believe
I would actually love to look at it from a biblical standpoint. When you say that they're here for you to kill and eat, are you saying it's because we have decided to breed those particular animals for food, or are you saying because of something the Bible says?
Well, both, but you know what I'm saying? We could say both. You know, but okay, I wasn't speaking specifically about the Bible. I meant, like, I personally believe beyond, that's why I said taking out any consideration of the Bible. Like,
Are you cool with dog fighting?
Nope.
Okay, well, those animals are bred specifically to dog fight. Like, they're bred for that purpose.
But dogs don't taste good unless it's Chinese food.
Well, okay, so I'd like to stick to one thing at a time, but to address that too, if taste is what makes it morally justifiable, then it's okay to eat people if they taste good.
I ain't never had a person to compare to them, but I'm not opposed.
Well, I would say I'll take that. Actually, depending on the person or the part, it tastes pretty good, bro.
Yeah, I was about to say cook. And we talking cook now.
No, but nah, man. No. So, like, taking taste out of it, man. I think, you know, like, I see your point. Like, hey, those dogs are bred to fight, you know. But just because I don't agree with it, that means I don't take part in it. I don't agree with it. However, I do feel like the animals that are bred to be eaten is okay with me. I'm just choosing that as choice, you know?
I understand what you're saying. We're kind of talking about a lot of different things. It sounds like you're headed towards personal choice, but I'll say it, in order for us to be morally consistent, we can't say one thing is okay because of this reason, but this other thing isn't okay, even though it involves the exact same reason. You know what I mean? Like, in order, if you want to be morally consistent, but I think if we took taste out of it, you probably would eat whatever. I mean, if it all tasted the same, it wouldn't matter to you. Am I right? I mean, taste has probably got to be a pretty big factor.
I would agree with that. I was thinking more like, so when you said those dogs are bred to, you know, to fight, but I think that I wasn't really talking about, like, the breeding, you know, per se, because I don't believe in any, like, violence with animals, right? You know, so I don't think that, you know, you should breed deer to fight too. However, I think that if you bred dogs to eat them and they were okay, I wouldn't want to eat it, but I would think, I would be like, okay, that's what you're doing. And so the same thing, deer, fish, cows, chickens, that's what I'm saying. So I don't think the violence standpoint is not okay. But if these animals are here to be of service to the humans.
And okay, so once again, that really sounds like something you're getting from the Bible. But I have to say, if you don't believe in violence towards animals, are you aware of how they get to your plate?
Yeah, I have watched several videos and documentaries on how they do that. But some violence is, I don't believe in violence on animal violence. I realize we got to kill them. That's violent. I don't care how you do it. Even if you just put them to sleep, that's still violent. But that's all a necessary evil, so to speak. Like, I don't believe in violence with people, but if you try to come in my house, I'm going to shoot you. So it's necessary.
So I would argue that it's actually not necessary. Humans are healthier when you don't consume meat. There have been several studies done. There was actually a study where they measured the arterial walls of sedentary vegans defined as vegans that worked out less than 1 hour per week. And they compared that to marathon runners eating a standard American diet. And the vegans actually had healthier arteries. And that goes hand in hand with the studies, the Adventist and the Adventist Seventh-day Adventist II studies, where they found out of the Seventh-day Adventists, you have meat eaters, you have vegans or vegetarians, and you have vegans. And the vegans, not only the Seventh-day Adventist vegans are the longest living population on the planet, but they're obviously the longest living population in that group. They had, I believe it was a 15% lower chance of cardiovascular risk and a 22% lower chance of all-cause mortality. So we're actually healthier without eating animals. I'm having a blank here. Academy of Nutritionists and Dietetics, the largest body of nutritionists and dietetics on the planet, actually released a paper years ago, I think about 15 years ago, saying that a vegan diet is adequate and healthful for all stages of life, from pregnancy to infancy to the old age and everything in between. So as far as necessity goes, it's actually not a necessity. It's detrimental. And like I said, not just to you, but also to the planet, you know, future generations and what. John, so I'd have to argue it's not necessary.
Right, because it's healthier. Do you drink?
Well, not because it's healthier, because a necessity is something that you need. And you don't need to eat animals to survive. You're actually healthier without them. That's no, just
the,
a bonus. No,
the necessity is how you kill the animal.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Wait, why is it necessary, though? You mean in order to eat it, you have to kill it?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's necessary to live. I know people that don't eat meat, including yourself, right? So I understand that it's not needed to live. I'm saying that the necessary is I can't eat a live animal.
So, Lamp, to address all of your questions, yes, I'm happy. And then going back to, because it ties in with what Carnegie was saying earlier. So, vegans, I've never met a vegan who stopped eating meat, or excuse me, stopped eating animals because he didn't like the way they tasted or the texture or anything like that. I've never met that person. And so people always say, oh, well, if you're going to stop eating meat, why do you want to eat stuff that tastes like meat? It's because that has nothing to do with why people quit. And, you know, years ago, it was actually a lot harder because there weren't things like the Beyond Burger, which is working on Beyond Steak right now and Beyond Shrimp and all that stuff, to answer your other question. So it's really about, you know, substituting to keep the flavor and the texture that you like, but without having to contribute to, you know, killing an animal and destroying the planet. And while a Beyond Burger is not as healthy as eating a carrot, it's still pretty healthy compared to eating red meat.
So, like, I hear a lot of people who are vegan say they have to take, like, supplements or like vitamins and stuff. Does it have any weight benefits? Like, do you actually lose weight behind it? Or do you have to kinda take, like, you know, different things to supplement the stuff that you're not getting through meat?
Who had to take iron supplements because she wasn't getting enough because she ain't eating no meat.
Yeah.
Right. So, just so you know, spinach, most leafy greens like that, spinach, kale, collards, they actually have a ton of iron in them. One thing that you do need to supplement as a vegan, and a lot of meat eaters are actually deficient in this too, is B12. And B12 actually comes, it doesn't come from the cow. It comes from the cow eating like dirt and whatnot. And it's a bacteria that's in the dirt. And because most of the crops that we grow are fed directly to factory farmed animals, which is 99% of the animals that we eat, most of the animals that you get your B12 from, they actually get B12 injections from the farmer. So you're still taking a supplement when you eat meat. You're just taking it through the meat. But yeah, it is necessary to supplement B12. I take a B12 supplement. And to go back to something that Lamp was saying when y'all couldn't hear me, I have actually tricked my girlfriend's nephew when he was 10 years old. We gave him a vegan hot dog, two vegan hot dogs with vegan chili, and he ate both of them. And we told him afterwards that it was, and he's from a redneck family, like, but it tricked him. He had no idea till we told him. So they make some really good substitutes. And so, yeah, as far as like food choices go and everything, I'm super happy. In fact, when I first went vegan, for about 3 months, I definitely missed eating animals. But now that I've been vegan so long, the concept of it actually grosses me out, because you're eating a dead body, you know. And when you think about it, after you haven't done it for enough time to realize that it's not necessary and you can avoid doing it and still get all the flavors and all the benefits, you know, happiness wise that you were getting before, it really, like, the more you think about it, the more adverse most people I know tend to become towards it. Did I answer your question, Warren? Oh, supplements. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. I just got off work, y'all. Scatterbrained.
No, you're good.
So, I mean, so what is, you know, the Beyond Beef, Beyond Shrimp, Beyond Steak that they're working on? What's that stuff made out of? How are they going to make that?
So Beyond Burgers, the protein comes from pea protein. And the only weird ingredient, if I remember correctly, is cellulose, which is the same thing that if you do take a supplement, you know, they come in those little caps. That's made of cellulose. Let me look real quick. All right, so it's pea protein, canola oil, coconut oil, rice protein, natural flavors, which I hate it when they put that on packages, but cocoa butter, mung bean protein, methyl cellulose, which is what I was telling you about, potato starch, apple extract, pomegranate extract, salt, potassium chloride, vinegar, lemon juice concentrate, and sunflower lectin. Oh, and beet juice extract.
Okay, so what is potassium chloride?
It's a preservative. It's in a lot of the foods you eat. You know, as a
my first question is, Zanak, is what is potassium chloride? You said it was a preservative, but so is salt. So why is there another preservative in there? And well, what is it? That shit sound like a chemical.
It is. It is. So to address that, I can't tell you why they put salt and potassium chloride in it. But I can tell you, a lot of people tend to say, well, I'll just eat a cow because a cow only has one ingredient, the cow. But that's actually not true. So cows are large animals, and there is an effect called bioaccumulation, I believe. And that means that when cows go outside and eat grass or eat crops that were grown by farmers, they're getting pesticides, and they're actually getting pesticides called dioxins that have been banned since the 1970s, but there's still trace amounts. It's in your vegetables too, but because a cow is such a large animal, it's in the cow in a much higher concentration than it is some corn or you know, a piece of broccoli. Also, aside from the pesticides that the cow's getting, big agriculture, you know, it's 99% is 99% of what you eat comes from factory farms. And those animals are pumped with things like ammonia, chlorine baths, stuff like that to kill the kill bacteria. Because it's very dirty, nasty conditions. So it's actually a complete misnomer to say, oh, the only ingredient in cow is cow. They're actually full of chemicals.
Right. Well, what about when you eat organic beef?
When you eat organic beef,
yeah.
As in like it ate outside, grass raised, all that stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. So the grass is what has the dioxins in them. They're everywhere. They're throughout the entire earth now. Even though they've been banned in the 1970s, it's something that hasn't gone away, and they've tested it and found it. Now, organic beef, I would say, it probably has less chemicals in it. But even the organically raised cows, they go to the same slaughterhouse. So any of the practices that happen at the slaughterhouse, like chlorine bath and stuff like that, it would be my guess that you're still being exposed to that. And, well, I guess this was said while nobody could hear me, but the price of Beyond Meat has come down significantly as more and more people buy it. The only reason actual meat is as cheap as it is because of the government subsidies. But actual, you know, whole food, plant-based vegan food, cause this was something Warren was talking about earlier. Is it healthier? Is there a benefit? Technically, vodka and Oreos is a vegan diet. So it all depends on how you do it. Oreos are vegan. Vodka's vegan. So if you eat nothing but Oreos and vodka, you're a vegan, but you're not going to be very healthy. So, but as far as like whole food plant-based diet goes, the cheapest ingredients in the supermarket are all vegan. Rice, beans, potatoes, things like that. Meat and cheeses tend to be the most expensive thing. And then, of course, some of your vegan replacement products, which aren't necessary, but some people do enjoy eating them, can be more expensive. you know, than say like a vegan hot dog. A pack of vegan hot dogs is $3. I don't know how much a pack of regular hot dogs is anymore, but that's probably. So there you go.
Yeah,
it's more.
But you know,
it's a lot healthier.
Yeah, but it also sounds like a bit of a trade off too, because now it's a potassium chloride, which is a metal halide salt. And so, you know, so you trade one chemical for another, because you say, like, even if you eat organic meat, which I try to do as often as I can, or like, or at least have it be raised locally. you know, you talk about how there's larger animals and there's a greater concentration of those chemicals, right? However, though, like, I don't know that many people that's eating a whole whatever, though, you know? So right. If it's in vegetables, which is, you know, which is hell, everybody eats, you know, whether you're vegan or not, right? Most everybody eats. But, you know, a large part of your vegan diet, I would assume, would be vegetables, right? And so you're still taking in that same chemical. You add in potassium chloride when you want to eat something that's a meat, like a vegan replacement for something else. And then, you know, but if I want to eat my regular meat, I'm still going to have that. What's that chemical called again in the grass?
Can you do a quick Google search real quick?
Sure. What would Google?
What foods contain potassium chloride?
What foods contain potassium chloride?
Yes, sir.
Probably anything that requires a preservative.
Okay. Well, I don't want to do it because I'm afraid if I click off the screen or something, you'll lose me, because I just Googled it.
Baby formulas, cereals, frozen entrees, meats, snack foods, yep, such as chips or crisps. So, again, basically, I was right. Anything that requires a preservative, because that's what it sounds like, you know.
Right. And so my point is, you know, if you want to talk about health, I mean, there's plenty of studies that show it's healthier, regardless of whether or not a vegan gets more potassium chloride or less than a non-vegan. I don't know if a study on that's been done. But as far as all-cause mortality, cardiac events, atherosclerosis, vegans, you know, demonstrably have lower levels of all that. But that, for me, is just a bonus. The whole reason I went vegan, like I said, is because I didn't want to contribute to unnecessarily killing animals. Essentially, the only reason to do it is for momentary taste pleasure. I mean, I don't know of another reason to eat animals. I haven't heard of another reason. I don't know if you've given me a reason yet.
Oh, besides preference?
Well, I mean, preference, if you say personal choice or preference, like, anything is a preference, you know? Like,
I know. That's why I said besides preference.
Yeah, besides preference. Because, I mean, like, it could be my preference to punch people while I walk down the street and, you know, or my personal choice to stab the next person I see. It is technically a personal choice, but it doesn't make it right. So, like, what is your reason that you eat meat? I mean, if it's not for taste.
Because
if it is for taste, you can say taste, because that's the only reason that I know of that. But I mean, I'm genuinely curious.
Well, for me, it absolutely is taste. Like, I enjoy it. Like, you know, I've had, you know, kind of talking about it earlier, having a, you know, Beyond Beef burger. Oh, and I was saying, like, I had one not that long ago at a restaurant downtown, and it was delicious. But it was nowhere near as good as, like, you know, the bacon cheeseburger that I have that's an actual burger. The Impossible Whopper that got really popular. Of course, I tried it. It's not as good as the regular one, you know, in my opinion. But that is the only reason for me. Like, I just, and I guess too, it helps that I don't have the moral, you know, dilemma, because then that would push me more. But I don't.
Right.
I don't have.
What about convenience?
How so? You mean just because it's like a more eating animals is like a more widely offered, like there's drive-thrus and shit like that? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I mean, for instance, like, instead of going to find meat I mean, food that tastes like meat. You could actually just, you know, okay, so take, for instance, let's take the killing of animals, like, on a large scale. Like, I can go fish or shoot, you know, my own food. But, I mean, I just think it's more convenient as opposed to trying to find, you know, vegetables or peas or this, that, because a lot of that shit we can't grow. We got to depend on the store to get, you know what I'm saying?
But you're saying you feel that hunting is more convenient than going to the grocery store?
It can be.
Don't you have to wake up at like the butt crack of dawn and go sit up in a tree for like 8 hours?
Possibly, but not fishing though.
Well, still, I would think that fishing, you're enjoying being out in nature and whatnot, but it is it really technically a more convenient way to get your food?
Well,
hey guys, this is Lamp with the Talking Animals. And have you ever planned a vacation and your friend that was supposed to watch your dog canceled on you? What about a family emergency and you needed a last minute pet sitter? Whether you're working long days or nights, traveling for business, out of town on vacation, or faced with a last minute emergency, your pet always has a home away from home with Champ Strong Kennels. They offer pet daycare, overnight boarding, and other pet care services. They even sell pet-themed apparel and pet items like bowls and mats on their site. You can find them on Facebook and Instagram at Champ Strong LLC, or visit their website at www.champstrongllc.com. Tell them the Talking Animals sent you, and make sure to use the promo code TAPODCAST to get 15% off when booking with Champ Strong Kennels.
I was speaking more
like, if you were starving right now, if you were hungry as shit, would you go fishing or would you run and get some food?
Well, actually, I brought in the hunting and the fishing, you know, but I'm talking about convenience in the store. I mean, because if I go by, let's just say I'm going in the store and I'm hungry, I want a burger. It's much easier to go pick up meat and much cheaper to go pick up the meat from the meat section than it is to go find a veggie burger that's going to be 2 times more expensive. It's just...
Well, so the last time I bought Beyond Meat, it was $4.69 for 20 ounces, which I think is comparable to the same fat level in beef. You know, you're like 93.7 beef is usually a little bit more expensive than the other beef. But as far as convenience, they actually sell Beyond Meat in the meat section. So I'm not sure that it's any more convenient when it comes to that. But I mean, some people might disagree with me. You know, some people might live in an area where it's not widely offered. Walmart is actually about to start selling Beyond Meat though, in like 20 pack or 10 or 20 pack patties. But to address, something that Nigi said about taste, that is kind of where you have to, or at least where I, you know, decided to go towards veganism, because for me, a moment of taste doesn't justify killing an animal that, you know, wanted to live. Usually an animal that's only lived a fraction of its life. And that choice is also, like I said, very detrimental to the planet. So for me, the taste just doesn't outweigh it. I can't think of a reasonable difference between a human and an animal that makes it okay to kill one for taste, but not what? The other.
Well, I think, hold on. I'm going to say this. I think that from a biological standpoint, you know, in a food chain standpoint, it's, I mean, because animals eat animals and we are animals, you know, it's just like carnivores have carnivores teeth, you know, versus omnivores, but in herbivores or whatever. And we would technically be considered an omnivore, but we really don't have many incisors or whatever.
Right.
But we do have some, you know. And I think that plays a part in us having them, because Well, I'm gonna put it like this for personal use. When I stopped eating meat, I had much less energy. Cause I did try the shit. I'm not gonna say I went vegan, but I went vegetarian and shit, and it drastically changed my energy level. So that's why I think it has an important part. And then you know you just gotta look at where you stand in the food chain. Now morally, that's where we get fucked up at, because we kill way more than what we need, as opposed to, you know, we'll just say a wolf that's going to kill, you know, only what it needs. You know what I mean? So that's why I can agree with you and say, like, it's fucked up killing animals. But at the same time, I feel like it's a natural process, too.
You feel like slaughterhouses and factory farms are a natural process?
No. Because that's on a large scale. And that's kind of bringing it back to where I said earlier about, you know, so basically I hunt, right?
And right.
We shoot what we eat. Basically, the rule is you can't kill it unless you're going to eat it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. As a hunter, what do you think would happen if everyone in America started hunting for their food?
I think there would be, that would be good for vegans or people, you know, not good for vegans, but good for people that don't like the slaughter of animals, simply because.
But do you think that there's enough? Do you think it's a sustainable practice for everybody in America to start hunting deer?
No, but then you can fish, and we also have chickens. That means you would have to take everybody back to farm. At one point, we did do that.
Yeah, I actually think that, you know, just to piggyback off this topic, if everybody did hunt for their own food, not just deer too, because there are plenty of other animals.
Yeah, right. That's what I was gonna say next.
If everybody did hunt for their food, I think that one, that everybody would be healthier. I think people wouldn't overeat as much because you have to go through a process to get your food. And I think it absolutely would be sustainable.
But he said deer, like, it wouldn't be because people hunt the fuck out of deer.
Right. Yeah.
So, then so it'd have to deer. Be. And that's if why we I did it to farming. We would have to farm. Yeah.
I think about it like this. There's 6 million boar in America. So if everybody goes out and shoots a boar for dinner, you're going to have no more boar and a bunch of people that didn't get one, because there's 300 million people in America. That's why I don't think it's sustainable. Well, I think we would wipe
out. But that's not going to happen, though. Like,
you're right. If everybody had to hunt for food, there'd be a lot more vegans. No, that's my personal.
I don't think that's true. I just think that people would do what they do now. So right. So like there are, you know, 300 million people in America, right? And I don't think that 100 million people are all eating the same thing right now. You know what I'm saying? So you're saying like you said there's 6 million boar, right? So
right.
Everybody ain't gonna go try to kill a boar. Hell, I don't know that I've ever had boar, unless you're talking about boar's head, and I don't think that counts. So it's not gonna cross my mind to go kill a boar. And I'm sure there are plenty of other people just like me. So that's the thing, because it's for me, you know, I'm gonna kill one cow.
And they said
if everybody had to hunt for their food, cows don't exist anymore, unless you're going to like a farm sanctuary and killing their cows, because the only reason cows exist in their modern day form is because of the way that we breed them. If we stopped breeding them, they wouldn't exist out in nature. You can't go out and hunt a cow. How many times have you been walking through the woods and seen a wild cow?
Well, that's what I was saying, farming, you know, because, I mean, essentially is what I'm trying to say. We at one point did have to farm. Like, we didn't have food on a wide-scale term, you know.
Right.
And I think that that's more, I mean, you're definitely sustainable that way, as opposed to, you know, like you said, the overkilling, a slaughterhouse.
Right,
you couldn't go out there and kill fucking 4 or 5 cows if you only had 6, 7. You would kill enough to last you for a while, and you know you would preserve, I guess.
And when you said like hunt for food, to Warren's point, like when he said farming, like I'm not thinking specifically like that specific to hunting too. Like I'm thinking like you mean you have to live off the land.
Yeah. Cool.
Right. You're talking more like homesteading thing, raising your own animal kill.
Yeah.
I understand that now. I want to address one thing Warren said about omnivores. It's what historically humans have been, you know, opportunistic eaters because we had to survive. We had to eat whatever we could. We didn't always have time to grow, you know, beans and rice and stuff like that. So we would hunt and kill animals and whatnot. But there are plenty of doctors who actually believe, not just doctors, but biologists, that humans are closer to herbivores than they are omnivores. Our intestines are about three times longer than the average omnivore, omnivore. Our jaws go side to side like a herbivore. Omnivores' jaws just go up and down like a carnivore. And then there's all the scientific evidence. If we were supposed to eat meat because we were omnivores, omnivores like bears and whatnot, they don't get clogged arteries from eating meat like humans do. It has been directly linked to eating meat. That's why your Seventh-day Adventist vegans, Okinawans that get less than 1% of their calories from meat, they're the longest living populations on the planet. So to say we're an omnivore, traditionally, yes, and we've always like been taught that and accepted that, but biologically and physiologically, I believe, and a lot of other scientists believe, we're closer to herbivores.
Biologically, you think we're closer to herbivores?
For sure. That's why we're healthier without meat. That's why the vegans who worked out less than an hour a week, and that include vegans that didn't work out at all, specifically sedentary vegans, they had healthier arteries than marathon runners who did eat meat. I mean, that's pretty huge right there. I mean, we're talking people that I think to qualify for the study, the marathon runners had to run something like 20 plus miles a week or something like that. Or maybe it was 13 miles a day. I don't know. But you can look up the study. Just Google couch potato vegans versus marathon runners artery health, and it'll pop up. You don't have to do it now, obviously. But and then something I said that Nigi, I could tell, thought was crazy. Was I personally cannot see a trait difference between humans and animals that would justify eating animals but not eating humans, or more specifically, killing an animal just for the taste and not killing a human just for the taste. We both have, feelings, emotion. We both have an ability to sense pain and fear and joy. So to me, that's what's important. Just like I wouldn't kill a person because they are sentient, essentially, you know, they experience all those things. That's the same reason I wouldn't kill an animal.
Man, now that the rest of, you know, we've been talking about the veganism, like I understand your points and they make, you know, a lot of sense. And I think that you're right. It's just, you know, I want to taste meat and I want to, you know what I'm saying? So like, and right. I realize that there's no science behind that or anything besides, you know, you can't deny taste. Right. But I understand, but that, what you just said, I don't understand. Like, I can't agree with that at all. Like, and it that's something I think we've talked about before too, because I do not equate animals with people. Yes, they have feelings.
With people, I'm not saying we should give them the right to vote or the right to drive or anything like that, just the right to life. And I do remember when we talked about this before, you said, I don't want to misquote you, but I believe you said something along the lines of, you know, you didn't believe that they, I don't remember if you said you didn't believe they felt emotions or you didn't believe that they wanted to live.
I don't believe I believe they have emotions. I've seen a dog cry or whine, you know, but I don't know that they are concerned with living the way that we are.
All you really have to do there is just watch some slaughterhouse footage. You know what I mean? I feel like
you can definitely tell that the animals in that situation are distressed. And a lot of times they fight back. They try to escape. That's why people kick them and punch them and hit them with stuff, because they're trying to get them to comply. You know, I believe anything that feels pain, emotion, fear, joy, they don't want that to end. Just, you know, they don't have a desire to be stabbed in the neck, or, you know, they're not apathetic to being stabbed in the neck. It's not like they don't care about it one way or another. That's why, you know, they have to use things like cattle prods, and they use them on pigs and stuff to get them into the gas chambers, and they fight to get out of that situation. And I mean, it's like, if you watch hidden camera footage of a pig in a gas chamber, I mean, they're in extreme pain. So that's probably got part of the reason why they are trying to fight to get out of the situation. But I don't know. I feel like it'd be difficult to prove that animals don't care whether they live or die. I mean, I don't know if you have something, towards that.
I disagree with Carnegie on that, man. Because I've seen animal, like raccoons and shit. Of course, some people do eat raccoons, but where they shoot, they get caught in like a bear trap, and they'll chew their fucking leg off to get out that motherfucker. You know, so I know that they have the will to live. But then again, I'm an animal lover. I just fucking eat them. But on the backside of it, I totally feel, you know, the way you feel about, you know, animals have feelings. That's why I say, let's, if we eat them, we at least got to be humane when we kill them. Like, I don't even like to catch fish, and most times people chop their heads.
What does that look like? What is a humane way to kill an animal that you just mentioned wants to live? What would be the humane way to do that?
I guess just put a bullet, make it quick, man, with a bullet. But that's not sufficient enough either.
Humane, it means to show compassion, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if a person wants to live, and let's say you put a bullet in them from half a mile away, they don't even know it's coming, and it's quick, would you still consider that humane, though?
I mean, it's not humane if... Well, I guess you could say if they want to live, it's not humane because you're killing them, but...
I don't know, man. I think that's still humane because the reason why they changed from firing squad to the electric chair is because it's considered more humane. So, like, yeah, I think so, bro.
Now you're bringing crime and punishment into it. I'm talking, you pick a random person out on the street and you just think of a humane way to kill them. You know, you do a person that's had a great life.
But see,
you know
I mean? They just randomly pick an animal to kill. Just to kill it, because if I shoot a human, I'm killing it just to kill that person. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not gonna eat that person, but for a purpose in the circle.
But do you think that? But we're talking about humane, though. Do you think that the animal that wants to live cares whether you eat it or not?
No, absolutely not.
Right. So I'm just comparing the concept of humane slaughter, not the reason behind it. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, if there is a humane way to kill something that wants to live.
I think it definitely is a humane way to kill something that wants to live. I mean, of course, depending on the reason you're killing it, I guess that's what makes it humane or not, you know, because you're showing compassion. But if I wanted to for instance, dog got hit by a car.
Are you showing compassion, though? I mean, because you could just eat something else. You know, wouldn't that be more compassionate?
Well, that's the case. We could talk about, I'm still taking life from something, you know? Maybe.
Are you talking about broccoli?
There have been studies to say that broccolis have feelings. Plants have feelings.
Are there?
Yeah.
I haven't seen those studies. I've seen studies that say plants react to stimulus, but that doesn't mean that they're sentient. It means that they have chemical responses to outside stimuli.
Okay.
And if you wanted to say, if even if you wanted to go with the argument that plants were sentient and had feelings, vegans actually kill far less plants than animal eaters, because you have to feed a cow or a pig a shitload of plants. I believe it's something like 1,000 calories of plant matter to get 10 calories of cow, which also goes to, you know, veganism having, well, not just having the potential to, but the ability to solve world hunger, because, you know, we grow so many crops that get fed directly to animals. So if you were worried about like plant feelings and all that, and you wanted to kill less plants, you would have to go vegan in order to accomplish that.
I read an article that said plants actually have feelings. Now, did I think it was ridiculous? Absolutely. But
right,
I think. Hold on, let me finish this. So if we stop eating animals, period, and even if you remove cows out of the equation, and I keep saying deer because that's probably like the next equivalent to or pigs or wild boar. Like, wild boar right now are a nuisance. So if we stop eating all these animals and just stuck to a plant-based diet, then eventually they're going to die off anyway when it comes to disease, or they're going to overpopulate areas and they'll become a nuisance. And then, you know, so then they will replace that grass that's been eaten by cows, because you can actually control the population of the cows, but not deer, you know, or not wild boar. Right. So, I mean, it's almost like a cycle, or, you know, a rotation, if you follow what I'm saying.
John, would you be okay with killing those animals because they were nuisances? You know, to Warren's point, would you be okay with killing them because they were nuisances? Because it's, I mean, basically necessary, because they're going to die because of the overpopulation. Would you be okay with killing them but not eating them?
As far as like when you say nuisance, if you mean I'm going to go out and hunt wild boar because they're nuisances, no, I'm not really okay with that. And I'll get to why. But if you're saying there's a wild boar in my backyard and it's going to attack me or my child or something, hell yes, shoot that motherfucker. You know what I mean? I do believe that, just like if a person tried to attack me, I'm going to shoot that motherfucker. Am I allowed to say that on this show? I've only listened to like 10 episodes. Oh,
let it sing. Let the chopper sing.
As far as the reason why deers get overpopulated if we don't hunt them and we have a wild boar problem, is because the natural predators of all these animals have been hunted to near extinction because of livestock, to protect livestock. So you can't have a bunch of cougars or wolves running around killing all your cows or your pigs. So commercial hunters get paid to kill those animals. And if we didn't do that, I believe that the nature would actually be healthier, because, you know, most hunters, and Warren could tell me if I'm wrong about this, but when you go out to hunt, most of the time you're looking for the biggest, strongest, most impressive deer or whatever you can find. Even though you're going to eat it, you're not looking for a weak, sick deer or anything like that, are you?
No, absolutely not.
But a wolves, the majority of the time, they thin the herd by eating the sick and the injured, and that's how they make the overall genetic quality of the herd stronger, by taking out the weak. Whereas hunters actually do the opposite. They're taking out the strongest ones in the gene pool.
John, you're either really smart or you've argued this shit a lot. I will give you that.
I'd like to think I'm pretty smart, but be vegan for 3 months and start talking to people about it, and you'll see how much you get to argue it. Yeah, I've had this conversation before.
Because, I can't knock you for what you're saying. You know, like I said, I'm a biologist, and I do love animals. I just eat the motherfuckers. But, I mean, you know, what you're saying holds some weight. Now, am I going to hang up and be vegan? No, but I'd be more conscientious of what I'm eating now, you know, or what I'm killing. But, I mean,
that's good to hear.
You do make sense, though, you know?
Yeah, and you know, like I said, just like everybody on the show, for 33 years, including when I was a pescatarian, I always said, no, I can never be vegan. Just about every vegan said that multiple times throughout their life, probably too many times to count. But you know, when you the more you think about it and the more you talk about it, you know, for me, like you said, you're an animal lover. I've always considered myself an animal lover too. And, you know, I'd see things like the Yulin Dog Meat Festival and I'd get super pissed off and like, you know, why are we letting, well, not letting, obviously, you know, you can't make anybody not do anything, but you know, why are they out there eating dogs? That's terrible. You know? But then I started to think about it and I'm like, well, what's the real difference between a dog and a pig? Except for scientists say pigs are, I believe, the fourth most intelligent animals on the planet. And they have a better sense of smell. But outside of that, there's not a whole lot of differences. I mean, several hundred pounds, of course, but I'm talking about, you know, personality traits, intelligence, the way they act. Cows, too, you know, they, just like dogs, they have emotions. They get attached. When farmers take the male dairy cows away from the mother milking cows, because a male dairy cow doesn't have any use in the dairy industry. It's a different breed of cow than what they grow to eat. So those cows normally go to become veal. And the mother cows, they, you know, cry and I forget what they call it, bleat or something, you know, that noise that they make for days after you take their baby. So they definitely have, you know, that attachment. And so for me, being an animal lover, I couldn't justify saying, well, I love animals, but I'm going to kill them every day, three times a day, because they taste good. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, it's Niggy, and y'all might be tired of hearing me talk, you know, because I'm typically hosting the show, but I got something else I want to say, and I need y'all to listen. During the quarantine, which was for me like about 3 months, your boy gained a lot of weight, and if you listen to the show, you already know I'm fat, like, but I got like extra fat during the quarantine, so I knew I had to do something, and FNX Fit was just the right thing at just the right time to help me overcome the weight that I gained during quarantine. And they provide premier health supplements that are designed to help athletes, which, you know, I used to be one of those, but it also is for people starting their fitness journey, like kind of like myself right now. So you get to have something of quality that you can trust without any extra fillers. And for those of you that don't know what extra fillers are, that's just like that stuff that you can't pronounce that are any like your supplements that you really don't want, because you just want your supplement to do what you're buying it to do so that you can get the best results. And that's what the products of FNX Fit do for you. You get the boost you need, or the, you know, the results that you're looking for, without having to worry about all kinds of extra stuff being in your body and getting those things that you don't want. And right now, you can look for the products to help you in your fitness journeys by using our referral link, which you'll see listed with our podcast. Using their referral links or the promo code FNXTA podcast to get 15% off right now. So make sure you hit it up, use the link or use a promo code to get that 15% off. Let us know what you think of the products. I think you're going to be happy. Again, you're getting the result with all the other extra. Again, this is Niggy. I'm out of here. Make sure y'all check us out.
Yeah, I think what gets me is I believe they're going to kill them damn cows anyway. But I do want to go back and say something.
Yeah,
a cow dumb as fuck. Not to say you said they were smart, but I just want to throw that out there for the show. I seen some cows do some stupid shit, and a deer, all deer. But
well, that may be true. Some dogs are stupid too. Yeah. I mean,
no, I just wanted to throw that out there because I'm not saying that they should be killed for that, but I want the people to know that that's how I feel about them, because I've seen them do some dumb shit. That's as simple as that. Now, I have seen some really smart deer too. I will say that, but
I mean, I don't know. Like you know, we touched on. I think that if we just let all the animals live, it actually would be harmful to.
Well, so now if you're talking about the animals that we refer to as livestock animals. So we raise and kill, not just in America, but worldwide, 70 billion livestock animals per year, billion with a B. And that doesn't even include like farm-raised salmon or anything like that. That's just cows, pigs, and chickens, and like duck and stuff like that. But so if as the world, you know, more and more people were to go vegan, it's not as if we're just going to one day everybody's going to say, oh, I'm vegan, and we're just going to let 70 billion animals loose in the wild. It's a process like supply and demand. So as more and more people become vegan, to what Warren was just saying, they're going to kill the cow anyways. They actually kill less cows the more people that don't eat cows, because there's no reason to – it just becomes an expense at that point. If nobody is going to pay for the flesh of the cow, then there's no reason to breed it into existence. So the Oxford University put out a study – that was published, a peer-reviewed study that was published in The Lancet. And then the head researcher did a study with interview with The Guardian, where he said, based on the findings of that study, being vegan is the number one thing we can do for the planet as individuals. So what he means by that is the majority of crops that we use go to feed animals. Animal agriculture takes up 75% of the land that we use for agriculture in general. It actually takes up a land mass equal in size to the United States, China, the European Union, and Australia combined. So if the world were to go vegan, all that land mass could be returned to the wild. And we see evidence of this in the news, but nobody talks about it. So like when the Amazon was on fire and everybody was making a huge deal about it, that happens every year. It just happened more so this past year. And the reason it happens is because cattle ranchers go and light the Amazon on fire so they can have more lattle and grow soybeans to feed to their cows. Australia, 54% of Australia is used for animal agriculture, and they've knocked down a lot of trees to accomplish that, which has made the climate much drier and made it possible for them to, you know, have these ridiculous fires that they had recently. And some people will say, oh, it doesn't have to do with climate change. People set those fires. Some people did set those fires, just like they set them in the Amazon. But the way that they burned out of control, that has to do with what we've done to the environment. So like if you put any weight into what the researchers at Oxford found in this study, and they talk about health and all that stuff too, but as far as the planet goes, I mean, especially if you have kids, you have to think like, if what scientists are saying is correct, do I want my kids to like, you know, be living in like a Mad Max type future, or do I want to, you know, do everything I can to, try to not just save the planet, but make it better, make the environment better, make the air cleaner. Like North Carolina, where they grow a ton of pigs to eat, they have a huge problem with pig shit. Like it causes sarcoidosis. They just spray it in the air, and people that live in that area get sick. A lot of them like deathly ill, and it goes into the rivers and streams and whatnot. It's not just the, you know, people talk about methane from cow farts and cow burps and stuff, but there's the actual problem of shit. You know, people talk about, you know, romaine lettuce getting recalled for E. coli and whatnot. That comes from poop every time, and is getting on there because of the fertilizers and stuff that they use. But now they have processes called veganic, where they grow the clover, which is high in nitrogen, that the animals eat, that puts the nitrogen in their poop. And instead they just grow clover and then plow that up and let it rot into the soil. And now you have nitrogen in the soil, just like if you were to use animal fertilizer. So there's alternatives to all of it, and they're all much better for the planet and the environment.
All right. So John, listen, we about to, you know, we need to wrap up because of time. But I want to say this in closing, I guess you'd say, bro, I think you're right. I think based on you know this conversation that we've had, like I think you're right. Like I think that it will be likely be a healthier, potentially better world if if more and more people were vegan. And there is, of course, a but. Yeah, but there is a but. I'm not going to
What'd you say?
I'm still not going to do it. But
what'd you say?
I said, I thought this was going to end differently as far as, like, I was like, John convinced me to become vegan, and you, I'm not going to say I'm become vegan, but I'm definitely going to think different, like, more conscientious now, you know? That, like,
well, I just want to say real quick, anybody that's listening or anybody on the show, if you Google Challenge 22, it's a free service where they will basically help you do the vegan diet for 22 days. They have people that work with you to make sure you do it in a balanced way so you don't lose energy like Warren was talking about. And I think you said you actually went vegetarian. A lot of people, when they go vegetarian, they increase their egg and cheese intake, which is a lot of saturated fat and cholesterol. So that could have been, you know, what led to the energy loss. But if you did want to try it for 22 days, there's Challenge 22 out there. Google it. It's a free service. And, of course, I'm friends with all of y'all. I don't know Warren as much as I know y'all, but we've connected on Facebook with our political ideologies and whatnot. So if any of y'all want some vegan recipes or anything like that, you know, I make a lot of Asian food vegan and, like, you know, General Tso's vegan and all that stuff.
Hold the fuck up. How dare you say General Tso's vegan? That is a pop. She's a third goddamn pop. I'll let you say a lot of stuff here. I'm not going to go with General Tso. I'm just playing. I know a lot of people that do that. Nah. I know I can't do it.
That's some shit I would have said.
I can try it. I can't do it. Not with General Tso's chicken. General Tso's chicken is my Chinese specialty.
I don't know. Holy a lot of shit over there, but you're not going to do it.
You gotta try it before you knock it, as they say. But no, I hear you. And you know, the longer you try it, the more the less you miss eating animals. To be honest, because I mean, especially the first month or two, I really wanted to, you know, eat some cows and some pigs and stuff. I was like, damn, I miss bacon, which is, you know, basically just pig skin and whatnot. But the longer you stay away from it, the more you realize, damn, there's a lot of delicious options out here. I feel better. My blood pressure, I had problems with my blood pressure all my adult life until about 2 to 3 weeks after going vegan. And my blood pressure was 117 over 77. So, you know, it definitely has its benefits, and it's just like anything else that you give up. Like people that give up smoking cigarettes and whatnot, that's, you know, say they could never do it and whatnot. The longer they stay away from it, the more they're like, damn, I can't believe I was actually doing that for so long.
Yeah. Now, I believe that too. Like, you know, I definitely look at veganism a lot differently after this call. Like, I feel like that you whooped our ass. And
it might be the first L we took on the day, bro.
Yeah, first. I think we gave us the first L, John, and I don't know how I feel about that yet.
It's a good one. I mean,
can I give you two? I know we didn't get into religion, but can I give you two Bible quotes real quick?
Sure,
go ahead.
Everybody talks about Genesis 1:26, which is God gave us dominion over the animals and whatnot, which dominion, right, it basically just means dominance, total control. And, you know, one could say that God, you know, gave us dominion over our children because you have total control over them. But we haven't chose, you know, most people don't choose to eat their kids. So that's not a mandate to eat animals. But Genesis 1:29 actually says, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. So that's Genesis 1:29, just two verses.
Yeah, but God also supplied them all them folks with fish too. Now,
it is true. He did
he gave all the people fish. Fish and barley loaves. A lot of fish too. The world's largest fish fry to this day.
Bro, you really just said the world's largest fish fry.
Yeah,
you imagine?
Everybody
Jesus come on. Where you getting all the fish?
Where you get these slabs from, Lord?
Get back, nigga. I done seen you stick your hands in here 3 or 4 times now.
Oh, no, I got to feed everybody now. Getting greedy now.
Yeah, you know God was out there with the battle, bro. In the grease, dog.
So just to address that, Genesis, you know, what I just read in the Dominion of the Animals, that's referring to the Garden of Eden, which was a time of abundance. And, you know, you could have whatever you wanted, essentially, because God provided it all in the Garden of Eden. And then in the time of Jesus, it was much more desperate times for mankind. And, you know, you couldn't just walk outside and pull fruit off of a tree, and you kind of had to take what you could get. And that's the times that Jesus was living in. But in the Western world, if you have enough money to go to the grocery store, you know, you could argue that we are in a time of abundance where you could kind of choose whatever you want. So, but I do hear what you're saying. I want to read one more quote that's actually from the Dead Sea Scrolls. A buddy of mine who's a pastor, I talked to him about this beforehand because, you know, it said that this is like from the gospel of Jesus himself. And I wanted to ask him the legitimacy of it. And he said that, you know, the things that were in the Bible, the canon, as they call it, it was all just voted on by people. And so if there was something that they didn't like, they just left that book out, like the Book of Enoch, which was found with all the other books and whatnot. But so this is from the Dead Sea Scrolls. And it says, "And the flesh of slain beasts in his body will become his own tomb. For I tell you truly, he who kills, kills himself. And whoso eats the flesh of slain beasts, eats the body of death, and their death will become his death. Jesus of Nazareth, the Essene Gospel of Peace," from the Dead Sea Scrolls. And so I just find that interesting because that's something that apparently, I mean, according to the Dead Sea Scrolls, Jesus said, that actually lines up with what the scientific evidence we have now. We've got we've done autopsies on children who are between 8 and 12 years old that were died in car crashes, American children, and over 70% of them already had signs of atherosclerosis, which is the clogging of your arteries. And it's because of our meat heavy diet. But yeah, I just wanted to get those two out because I know we didn't get to the Bible or anything, but I find those two quotes really interesting.
I mean, I think they are interesting, but like I said, Bible gets tricky in general sometimes because a lot of times you can find statements that seem to contradict, you know, a previous statement before. But yeah, you know, but it is interesting to look at that. And I just think that when we said that, I mean, it brings another question because I often don't think about 1 and 29, right? Wasn't it Genesis 1 and 29?
Right. 120 you know, is the dominion over the animals. 129.
29 is, yeah. 29.
Yeah.
And so, but again, you know, my point, I'm like, well, shoot, you know, God felt that way. Then why he let Jesus give people all that fish? He should have been like, nah, I'll put that fish down. Y'all can eat some plants.
So, according to this, is also from my friend who's the pastor, it was after the flood with Moses and all of the vegetation was wiped out, which is when God said, okay, you can eat animals now because you don't really have any other choice.
Well, how did they get bread then? They had to make that bread from plants.
Honestly, that seems kind of fishy because really if all the vegetation was truly gone, the animals aren't going to make it either, you know, because that's what they were eating. So, you know, that's just what he said. Like I said,
they wouldn't have been able to make no bread.
All that.
Yeah.
Are you talking about manna? Because that's supposed to be bread from heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, nah, but nah, they had the Bible say 5 barley loaves.
True. So true. Was that right after the flood, or that's just in the Bible?
I don't think it was right after the flood. But, yeah. But I mean, it might have been close. You know, don't quote me on that now, because I hear.
And I'm certainly not an expert on the Bible. And yeah. I do know me that either. You can find passages that contradict that. Like there's one about, you know, don't judge. This is a very weak paraphrasing, but basically saying, you know, people that eat animals shouldn't judge people who don't, and people who don't shouldn't judge people who do, basically is what the quote says. So, you know, like I said, there's all kinds of, you can find anything to support your argument for the Bible. I just really like those two quotes, and especially the dominion one. The reason I was bringing that up is because a lot of people use that dominion over the animals for their argument as to why they feel they can do it. But they completely ignore the verse, or, you know, two verses later, that tell where God tells you specifically what he wants you to eat right after saying, you know, dominion over the animals. So that's why I wanted to bring that one up. But I've done an extra 10 minutes now.
Yeah, hey, you're right. Hey, but listen, John, hey, we appreciate you coming and dropping this knowledge on us, man. I tell you, like I said, I don't know if we really appreciate you handing us our first L, but, you know, we'll take it. At least Lamp got to say, hold the fuck up. You know, that was...
I felt as though that energy was needed for a moment.
I really enjoyed being on this show. I really appreciate you guys having me on here. I had a lot of fun. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like it might be a way to trick some people into listening to me.
Hey, you never know, man. We definitely appreciate you coming. And you might be back, man. If somebody start talking some shit, I'm going to ask you to come back.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's awesome.
All right. Thanks, John, man. We appreciate it.